Skagway sees an increase in demand for food assistance, and early voting begins in the Upper Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. The economic effects of the pandemic are dire across Southeast and especially in Skagway. As the community hunkers down amid its first rash of cases, the local food aid program is getting more requests than ever. KHNS's Claire Strempel has more.
Ryan Mandeville usually gets about 10 requests for food aid a year. This year, he's had nearly 60. He says that's picked up a lot just in the last month.
There's been an uptick since I put a notification on Facebook and the marketplace and everything else, but I did that on the 11th. And there's consistently been four or five people who've called in a day, every day since then.
Mandeville is the president of the Community Cares Committee, a coalition of five Skagway churches whose leaders oversee food aid. And despite a record-shattering number of requests, they have more aid to give. Skagway's Assembly voted to give the group $125,000 of CARES Act funding to offset the negative impacts of the pandemic. And a fundraiser spearheaded by White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad brought in over $5,000 in donations in one day. The committee isn't handing out canned food or even cash. Its leaders set up an account at the local market, so beneficiaries simply shop on credit. That's $200 of credit for an individual and $400 for a family, per request. Mandeville says the committee expects that sum of money to carry for about 2 weeks. Then another request may be submitted. The program's only criteria is that the individual express need, and the program has expanded its parameters since the pandemic began.
In the past, we used to have a three-time kind of cap, and then after the second request, we'd make sure that you had applied for food stamps from the state to carry you through. So as word gets out, people just need to ask themselves, do they have a need and would this help?
Mandeville says that even if the group continues to give at a high rate, they should be able to continue until next summer. He estimates that they are on track to spend $100,000 by May. There's also a more traditional food exchange at the First Presbyterian Church at 5th and Main. If you are experiencing food insecurity, visit khns.org for more information or call Mandeville at 973-2042. For KHNS, I'm Claire Strempel.
Early voting for the November 3rd general election began in Haines and Skagway on Tuesday. Municipal officials have been busy running voting booths out of their offices. This year, Upper Lynn Canal voters will choose a U.S. Senator, a U.S. Representative, and the President of the United States. There are also two statewide ballot measures. One proposes to raise taxes on the state's largest oil producers, and the other would implement ranked choice voting and require more political donors to disclose the source of their money. Haines residents Leslie Roussan and Sue Liebenson visited the Haynesboro Administration Building Tuesday morning to cast their votes. Liebenson says she just wanted to make sure she didn't miss the opportunity to vote this year.
People get busy and they forget to vote. It's just important to vote, and we really are fortunate in Haines to have the option of voting early.
The borough's administration building is the only place in Haines where you can vote in person before Election Day. Voters need personal identification, such as a driver's license, passport, or voter registration card, to cast their ballot. They are also required to wear a mask while inside the building to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Skagway early in-person voting takes place at City Hall and is still happening despite the municipality's shelter-in-place order. Early in-person voting takes place on weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Skagway and on weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Haines until Election Day. According to Haynesboro Clerk Aleka Fullerton, the difference between voting in-person early and on Election Day is how and when the ballot is counted.
Your ballot will be sent to Juneau to be counted in the early voting period, whereas on Election Day it will be voted immediately through the optical scan machines.
Voters can also cast absentee ballots by mail. Haines and Skagway residents can request the state's Division of Elections send them an absentee ballot in the mail that they can fill out and return before Election Day. Voters also have the option to request that a ballot be sent to them by email, which they can then print, fill out, and mail to the Division of Elections. State law usually requires absentee voters to have a witness co-sign their ballots, but that rule has been suspended during the pandemic. For more information on how to request a mail-in absentee ballot, visit khns.org. Reducing the size of the state's ferry fleet was among the cost-saving recommendations from a workgroup looking to make the Alaska Marine Highway System more efficient. Now the state is redoubling its efforts to sell its two fast ferries. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the sleek blue and gold catamarans were brought into service about 15 years ago with great fanfare.
The fast ferries had a rocky start. A defect with their innovative lightweight engines caused them to crack, leading to headaches right out of the gate. The state sued the manufacturer in 2010, and both ferries were eventually repowered with conventional engines. And when they did work, the ferries were popular with passengers. That's because the 235-foot vessels could cover distances twice as fast as the rest of the fleet. Juneau to Sitka only took about 4 hours. But the catamarans burned far more fuel than the rest of the fleet and struggled in the notoriously rough wintertime conditions in Lynn Canal. So the Chunega was taken out of service in 2015. The Fairweather followed last year, says DOT's regional spokesman Sam Dapsevich.
You know, we determined that they were too expensive to operate with the high fuel usage, complicated machinery, and, you know, associated high maintenance costs.
But that cost cutting had a price. The agency told lawmakers earlier this year that it's paying more than $500,000 a year to moor both fast ferries in Ketchikan's private Ward Cove facility. The state tried last year to hire a broker to find buyers, but that didn't go anywhere. So DOT is trying something new. It's accepting sealed bids for each ferry, or both as a package deal. According to filings, the agency has set a minimum reserve price for each ship, but it's not saying how much that is until the bids are unsealed, for obvious reasons. And prospective buyers are required to post a refundable $25,000 deposit with each bid. The public notice went out on Thursday, October 15th, and within 24 hours, Dapsevich says the phone started ringing.
We've had some interest, and we are pursuing those leads.
The bids will be unsealed on December 15th in a conference room at DOT's Juneau headquarters. Until then, the agency is inviting prospective buyers to visit Ward Cove to inspect the two ferries. And it says even though Ketchikan's borough doesn't require it, it's asking visitors to please wear a mask. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.